Well, Tim, season 6 of Veep opened up on Sunday night, and let's see if we can get people caught up. So far, Jonah Ryan, the only one that has an important job. I think that's a pretty good microcosm of what's happened in America.
Yeah, it might be that somebody that is completely incompetent and unqualified has failed upward into a job that they don't deserve. That I think that there might be a parallel going on in the world right now.
I saw a comment recently where you said that Jonah was perhaps the Trumpiest character on the show.
You know, I think that our showrunner, Dave, has brought up a really good point that Jonah has some of Trump's crassness. But one thing that Dave brought up was this idea that, you know, there's a lot of Trump in Selena as well, in that she's the kind of person that talks like she's the champion of the working man, but Donald Trump would never actually be around a working man, and if he was, he'd be very uncomfortable and wouldn't want to shake her hand, or wouldn't want to shake their hand, and wouldn't want to invite them into his house. And Selena has a lot of those same sort of two-faced qualities as well. So Jonah has a lot of his lack of decorum, but Selena shares a lot of his policy value.
So Selena is out of work and contemplating her next move. Good news, bad news for Jonah Ryan, a seat in Congress representing the fine state of New Hampshire, but testicular cancer as well. And well, let's start with the hair. Did you really shave all of that off for the show?
I absolutely did. They pitched it to me, and it was just such a funny idea that I sort of took an afternoon to think about it. And I was like, yeah, it would be the funniest move to just show up surprisingly with a shaved head. And of course, in true Jonah fashion, he finds out he has testicular cancer because he didn't follow his own advice of check him and don't neglect him, which was he was the face of testicular health, and he didn't even follow his own advice. And then once he has it, in true Jonah fashion, he finds that people are very sympathetic to him, and he's been able to meet a few women because of it. And so even after his treatment is done and his hair would have kept growing back in, he continues to shave his head just to try to get the sympathy.
Jim, Don Cookson here alongside Rich this week. What was that afternoon like? You said you thought about it for the afternoon. There must have been a moment when you said, I just can't do this. I can't do this. I'm imagining myself going after my own head of hair, which as it thins, I become increasingly attached to.
You know, I actually I was sort of always going to do it. I never really considered not doing it because it's just so much funnier if you actually do it. It was just a matter of like, when was it going to grow back out? Am I going to have it shaved for an entire year? And does that affect work outside of it? And all those conversations that you kind of have to have, that you have to at least give yourself the ability to talk through in your mind. But honestly, it really wasn't much of a choice. Like, it would just be the funniest way to do it. And if I had I think the biggest thing that I was worried about was that, like, I haven't shaved my head since I was like 14. I don't know if I have a weird looking head or I don't know if it looks good shaved. So it was kind of a win-win either way. Like, if I have a normal looking head, it's going to be funny. And if I have a really weird looking head, it's going to be funny. So it was a win-win either way.
And you went eyebrows too. I mean, you're all in.
You know, I actually didn't do the eyebrows. That was just that's a credit to our hair and makeup. They covered them with a really thin silicone that sort of flattened them out. And then they put a bunch of makeup over them. So it just looks very cancery, I suppose, would be the only term that I could come up with.
Just don't remove it really quickly, I guess, is the key.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Tim Simons of Veep here on Downtown. The season 6 premiere was on Sunday night on HBO, and of course you can get it on demand as well. And I don't want to give anything away, but one of the highlights of that first episode is a memorable appearance on TV with your former antagonist, Dan, who's got a new job.
Yeah. Well, I think we can give a little bit away. He started working as a CBS morning show anchor, and in an attempt to curry favor with the network, brings me on. And we won't give this away, but we won't give away exactly what happened, but it doesn't really go well.
But also does not have the desired effect for it doesn't have the desired effect for Dan though either, despite how poorly it goes.
No, exactly. Like, it doesn't really have a desired effect for either of them. Jonah wants all the publicity he can get, and Dan wants the curry favor, and it doesn't really go that way, and it doesn't really go well for them in either way.
So is it harder as you get to season six now to satirize a world that seems to be satirizing itself every day? I mean, certainly episode one is any indication. You guys have jumped right into it and found a way to find humor when there's so much of it out there on a day-to-day basis that's unintentional.
Well, it has been. I think when you look at the things, like even if you go back to season one and you look at some of the things that counted as gaffes or possibly political career-ending events, like they don't really count anymore. We've seen that with the current administration, just like how willing they are to flip-flop and lie and change the rules or ignore rules or nakedly profit off of the office of the presidency. Like, those things would, a few years ago, you would have thought, well, that'll destroy any politician. I mean, it's just day to day, something worse comes out, even before the election. So it does make it harder when the level of incompetence is sort of impossible to satirize. So we have just kind of, we are in a sort of unique position that we are not based in the same, we are in sort of a parallel universe. The most recent politician that we've ever referenced has been Ronald Reagan. And because we are in a parallel universe, we don't have to deal with what's happening right now head on. We can deal with sort of the surrounding issues and the surrounding, the surrounding things, the things that would have caused someone like that to be elected. We can satirize those things because those still exist. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. So you've been doing this for a while, Tim, but you sometimes pinch yourself and say, man, I am working with an incredibly talented ensemble on what is hands down the funniest show on television.
No, it's funny. One of the great things about the group of people that I work with is even though this is the beginning of the sixth season, I think we all treat it as if it's the first day on set. Like, we still really enjoy each other's company, both on set and off set. We still all have a really good working relationship. I think we all can't believe it's gone this long. I think we all have a reverence for the work, which isn't always the case. Like, that does, even on shows that are successful, like, sometimes there are fractures in casts that are somewhat untenable, and this is just not the case with our show. It's a really amazing experience and a great group of people, and continues to be.
Always have some great guest stars on the show. Are there any you can let us in the coming season?
Ooh, you know, I feel like one of the best things about the show is that we have like this sort of deep bench of incredible actors that we can kind of pull back, because the world of Washington is pretty small. So, of course, you're always going to see... you've already seen Dan Bacadal and Nelson Franklin come back as Furlong and Will, the sort of foul-mouthed congressman and his long-suffering assistant. Mary Holland comes in this year, and she's an incredibly talented actress and comedian from Los Angeles. And she comes in and ends up being involved with Jonah's office in sort of unexpected ways. That's the little tease I'll give you on that one. But no, like, Mary Holland comes in and it's fantastic this year.
I laughed out loud. Kevin Dunn, man, he's so good all the time. But his line, mm-hmm. When he leaves Uber and he says, damn millennials, too lazy to learn how to drive drunk.
Yeah. There really aren't a lot of sacred cows that the show won't go after. And just like, I think he's one of my favorite characters, just like a sort of consistently depressed, just trying to find a reason to live each day and just won't suffer fools for very long, and including himself.
So how about other projects? Did I see that you did a movie with Christopher Walken?
I did. I wasn't in any scenes with Christopher Walken, but I just, right as we were wrapping up this past season, I worked on a movie called Irreplaceable You, indie movie with an actress, a really fantastic actress, who, if you don't know her already, you will, because she's unbelievably good. Her name's Gugu Mbuthu-Raw, and She played the lead in that movie, and I had some scenes with her, and she's just, I mean, she's incredible, and it's a really amazing story. And I was unfortunately not able to meet Joaquin, but hopefully someday.
This week, too, I see you're returning to improv, doing a show at UCB.
I am.
That sounds fantastic. I love the sound of that. Tim, you have been so vocal on social media, and man, for anybody who's not following Tim, he's a great follow on Twitter, and you're not afraid to engage people out there. Overall, how have you found that experience?
You know, I would say, I always begin with this, is that Twitter is absolute garbage, and I just can't wait until it shuts down.
That said.
I have found it to be incredibly helpful in finding like-minded people. I don't know that it actually changes any minds, but it does at least feel momentarily better to just scream into the void when things get really frustrating. I can't really say that I've found a good level of conversation on there, of like, you know, sort of congenial and polite conversation doesn't really exist on Twitter, but it does feel nice to just scream into the void every once in a while, and I feel like it's a good outlet for that.
Absolutely. How are the twins doing?
Yeah, they're doing good. They're getting big, man. They're five.
Wow.
They are turning into little people. I don't know if anybody out there has twins, but it's like the hardest thing ever, because you have two people that don't know what danger is, running in opposite directions, and they're starting to understand a little bit more what can hurt them and what won't hurt them, and that has made day-to-day life a little bit easier. But they're great. Marty loves Legos. Hopper loves to draw. They both love gymnastics. Everything's going well.
That's fantastic. Well, Tim, we're always excited to follow your success. The show is fantastic and off to a great start here in season 6. So I hope you get a chance to come up and spend some time in Maine this summer.
I hope so, man. I think we'll be coming out to we always try to make a trip out there to spend a little bit of time by the lake and like show the kids what woods are. But we'll be out there and visiting my sister out in Rockland at her bookstore and all that.
Excellent. Tim, it's great to talk with you. As always, continued success, and we'll check in with you again before too long.
Sounds great, guys. Thanks a lot. Have a good day.
Thanks.